Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to be a part of your people in your house. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunities to share your love with our community, and we're humbled and thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for the responsibilities that we have, that we are able to pray for each other. And so, Lord, we approach this with all seriousness. But we don't always understand how. We don't always understand the workings of prayer, but we believe. And so, Lord, with these names that are listed in our bulletin and all the requests that are not even listed here, Lord, we lift these names up before you and we ask for your will to be done, your good, perfect, and pleasing will. Because, Lord, we believe in you and we believe that your will is right. And, Lord, we thank you for the calling that you have placed upon us to stand in the gap, to tell others about Calvary, that we might point others to you. Lord, we surrender and we seek the power of your Holy Spirit to be at work within us, that we might be up to the tasks that you have given to us. And Lord, we pray that you would clear our souls of all the stuff that often keeps us from you, from the distractions. Because Lord, we truly want to be in your presence so that we can live for you. So use these minutes of worship to strengthen our faith, to open our eyes to your vision for what you want us to be as your church. And Lord, we pray that you would prepare and use Dr. Crowe and the Bible conference that is coming to move among us and to draw us closer to you. And Lord, because we believe that this is an appointed and a very sacred moment, we commit ourselves to being here that you might speak to us. So forgive us. Speak to us in this moment. Show us the way that we might be your faithful disciples. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You girls. Ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
Before our pastor comes and shares the message of the morning, let us join together in hymn number 462. While we're singing this number, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. We'll be dismissing our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. Church, let us join together as we stand and singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Joining as we sing and worshiping his name. Seated.
For those of you that were here last week, you know that Grace W. Thomas made a difference in this world. She made a difference not because she was ever elected governor of Georgia, but because she heard the voice of Jesus calling her to follow, and she accepted that call, and she followed Jesus, and because she did, she ended up going to places she never expected to go. She said things she never expected to say, but God used her to change lives. Gladys Allward is another great example of what God can do with a person that hears the call and decides to follow. Now, Gladys Allward was born in 1902 in London, and her mission biography is one of the most exciting and powerful stories of all. She felt the call as a young person that God was sending her to China. And so she went in London to the only agency sending to China, which was still open at the time. And she went through at least the initial process, and they said she wasn't smart enough to go. They said she wasn't bright enough to learn the language or to figure out the culture, and they didn't feel comfortable in sending her. And so she left initially discouraged and upset. But she knew in her heart that God was calling her to go to China. And so as a young woman, she went to work as a maid. And she saved every penny that she could save. And then she bought a one-way ticket from London to China. She wasn't going to have the support back home. She wasn't going to have a mission agency that was there to help her out and to be a safety net or to pray for her or to do the things that most missionaries have. And on top of that, when she got to China, she wouldn't have anybody waiting for her. She was going to have to figure it out alone. But she heard the call of Jesus and she followed that call, and only God knows the number of lives that that woman touched because she was willing to stay behind Jesus. Now Moses is an ancient biblical example of what a God-called person can do. And way back in the book of Moses, in fact, in the 40th chapter, if we were to go there this morning, we would find these words written about Moses. And you got to let them sink in here. It says Moses did everything. Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him to do. Wow. Everything? Really? What? That's pretty impressive stuff. No wonder we look at Moses and we say, you know, he's head and shoulders above most all the rest of us. I mean, there he was, 80 years old, and God had something for Moses to do. I mean, that's impressive. And if all we knew about Moses was what we just read, we'd have to step back and say, now that's what I'm talking about. But those of us that know the story of Moses, we know there is another side. We know that Moses also had moments of doubt and of failure. We know that as a young man, he let his anger get the best of him. And when he saw an Egyptian soldier beating a Hebrew slave, he killed the Egyptian soldier. And that's why he had to flee from Egypt in the first place. And we know that even later in his life, much, much later in his life, we know that his anger got the best of him again. And this time it was after all the stuff that God had already done. I mean, he had spoke to him in the bush that was burning, sent him off to Egypt. He went through all the plagues that God showed his power, even saw God part the Red Sea. And then the people were out in the desert, and they're grumbling, and they're complaining, and, you know, and obviously God's much more long-suffering than Moses was. Because they said, well, you know, I guess God just brought us out here, and we don't got no water to drink, now we're just going to die of thirst. And God said, no, Moses, you just talk to the rock. You just talk to the rock and the water will flow. But Moses wasn't real thrilled with the people. They were grumbling not only at God but about him, and he let his anger get the best of him. And instead of speaking to the rock, he took his staff and he hit the rock. Doesn't seem like much to us, does it? But it was an act of disobedience, was it not? God said, talk to it, don't hit it. But Moses let his anger get the best of him, and because he did, it carried a severe consequence. In fact, those of you that really know the story of Moses, you know how serious of the consequence it really was. And this is a little side point. It's not even part of the message, but I'm here to tell you, anytime that God tells us to do it and we decide we're going to do it our way or we decide we're going to disobey, there is always a high price to pay for our disobedience. But when you look at the life of Moses, what we see is that Moses really tried to do what so many people try to do over the years. Yes, God called him through the burning bush and spoke to him. God said, I've heard the cries of my people, and Moses, I want you to go bring them out. And Moses' response was simply this, I think I'll pass. No, he said, look, he said, Lord, why don't you just send somebody else? In fact, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, we'll just read what Moses told God. In Exodus 4:13, Moses simply said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. But you know what? Based on Exodus 40, I'm thinking that's not what Moses should be saying here. No, Moses should have been saying, okay, I'm your man. But he said, look, God, I'm just not interested. I'm good where I'm at. This shepherding gig is not all that bad. And I think I'll just let someone else do what you have called me to do. Truth is, how many times has God heard that line? I mean, Moses had all kinds of excuses, if you will. You know, Lord, I'm just not any good at this. Why don't you let somebody else go instead of me? Now, in fairness to Moses, I think we can say, hey, life was kind of complicated for him at that time. He is 80 years old, and he's no spring chicken. He's got to have had lots of aches and pains. On top of that, he had a family to take care of, and who wants to uproot your family when you're 80 years old? And there he was. He had been in the family business for over 40 years, and he had to see retirement coming up quickly. So it's simply, you look, I don't think I want to get involved in this. He said, I think I'll pass. And then to make things, well, maybe not sound so bad, I think Moses played the card that so many people play, that, you know, God, look, there is somebody else that can do a better job than me. Now, if you flip over to chapter 3, verse 11, what you find are these words from Moses. Verse 11, chapter 3. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? Now, like Moses, we know how to make plenty of excuses, do we not? We can make them sound pretty good, I think. Look, God, you're God. And God, you absolutely deserve the best, and I'm just going to be straight up with you. God, I'm not the best. I know you can do better than me, so why don't you just go ahead and get somebody else to go? We can make disobedience sound pretty pious if we try just a little bit. But God's answer to Moses, it was short and sweet, and I love it. You find it in verse 12, and God simply said to Moses, I will be with you. And that's the only thing that ever qualified Moses to go in the first place. God said, Moses, you go, and I will take care of the details. And there's a lot of wonderful things about our God today, but God is a God of details, and he's going to work things out for us, even though we don't know how. When the boat was a-rocking and the disciples knew that they were getting ready to capsize and drown, all they had to do was wake Jesus up. When there were thousands of people hungry and they didn't have any food, all they had to do was get Jesus to say grace. And the buffet was on. Look, God's presence is a good thing. And it is a powerful thing. And it is the thing that changes everything. So Moses said, who am I that I should go? And God said, no, Moses, no worries here. Not at all. I'm going to be with you. And that really should have settled the matter, but Moses wasn't quite done making excuses. He played the old standby, what if? What if they don't listen to me? What if they don't really believe that you sent me? God, let's suppose I go. I'm not sure I'm going, but God, just let's suppose I go. There is absolutely no way that they're going to believe that you sent me. They'll think I've spent way too much time with the sheep. Moses' words you find in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? And they say the Lord did not appear to you. Problem is, Moses had his camera out of focus. Moses was worried about all kinds of stuff that wasn't his responsibility to have to worry about. You know, Moses was simply to go and say what God told him to say. It was up to God to convince the people that Moses was God sent. The what if game we play it all the time. What if I invite somebody to church? They'll think that I'm one of those fanatic Christian types. What if I try to talk to somebody about Jesus and how they need to open their life to him and invite him in? You know, what if they ask me something that I cannot answer? And what if I really decide that I'm going to follow Jesus? What if he tells me to sell all of my stuff and go off to another land? Look, the only person that Moses really had to convince that he was God called was not Pharaoh, it was not the Israelites, it was himself. And that's always true. We are not responsible to make anybody believe. We don't have to prove anything. We just have to believe that in the end, we are God called and we know what God wants us to do. Look, we can't convince anybody in the world that Jesus is God's son and that somehow on Calvary he took all the sins of the world upon him. But then that's not what we have to do. That's God's place to do. So Moses' excuse was simply that they won't believe me. But God said, look, Moses, I'll take care of that. You just tell them I am has sent you. And in the exchange that followed as they bantered back and forth, God said, what are you holding, Moses? Moses said, well, it's a staff. All shepherds had staffs. And God said, throw it on the ground, Moses. And he throws it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. And then he says, okay, Moses, reach the end of it, pick it up. And he reaches down and picks it up, and it's back to a staff. And then God said, hey, Moses, put your hand inside your shirt. Moses put his hand inside his shirt, and then he pulled it out, and it was all leprous and full of leprosy. And God said, now put it back in. And when he did and brought it out, it was back again. Perfect. See, those were faith builders for Moses. And in my mind, I suspect that Moses really, well, I think when things got hard and when the doubts began to resurface and came knocking on his door, I suspect he grabbed that staff and he held it just a little bit tighter. Because that staff was there to remind him of God's presence and of God's power and of God's calling upon his life. Folks, the scripture is full of faith builders for us if we'll get into the word. Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Take my yoke upon you because it is easy and my burden is light. There is nothing in all of creation that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I know that God will give us what we need because God always has. Now Moses' response really was simply, hey, I'm going to pass. I'm going to take a pass. But God said, no, Moses, you are the one and I am sending you. Again, we'd think that Moses would be dumb, but he's got one more excuse. This time he simply said, look, I'm just not a good speaker. I'm not any good with words. God, you know that. And you find God's response to Moses in chapter 4, verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Gotta love it, don't you? God said to all the excuses that Moses kept pouring out, look, Moses, you're my man, and I'm going to take care of you. Now go and stop making excuses about it. Moses clearly did not want to go, but he did go. And in going, he found out things about himself and about God that truly changed his life forever. And you say, well, you know, that's great. That's Moses, and that's good, but so what? Well, the so what is simply this, is that God is still calling people today. And here we are. Are we going to make excuses, or are we going to make a difference? See, God's invitation, his calling, is simply for us to walk with Jesus. Now, why God calls us and why God chooses to let us do certain things, I don't know. What I do know is that God is with us, and I know that the results are up to God. Ours is simply to be obedient. A man one night, he, in the middle of the night, has a dream, and God's speaking to him. And God told him in that dream, he said, you know that big rock that's out in front of your cabin here in the mountains? And he said, yes. And he said, tomorrow I want you to get out there, and until I tell you to stop, I want you to go out there, and I want you to push against that rock with all of your might. Well, the next morning the guy got up and he said, you know, I really believe that was God speaking to me. So he gets up and he goes out, and from daylight to sundown, he's pushing against that rock. Nothing happened that day. He did it the next day and the next day. And, of course, that rock was too big. He didn't move it any at all. And after just a few days, he's getting kind of discouraged. Look, well, what's up? You told me to do this. And I've been trying to do it, but I haven't moved this rock. I haven't moved it not even an inch. And God said, that's not what I told you to do. I didn't tell you to move it. I told you to push against it. He said, what I called you to be was obedient. He said, but in your obedience, you are now stronger than before you started to push, and now I can use you to do other things. See, the calling is simply this. The results are God's. Ours is simply to be obedient. Look, many have tried what Moses tried. There's plenty of excuses out there, and I doubt I've hit all of the ones that you've used. Certainly haven't hit all of them I've used. But there's really only one reason to go, and that's because God has called us. It's the same for Moses. That's the only reason why he should go. Moses went and he made a difference, just like Grace Thomas and just like Gladys Allward. They were great simply because they chose to follow God's calling. God can do so much when we decide that we're going to make it about God and not make it about us. When we make the decision that is not about our preconceived notions, but when we say we really believe that the gospel of Jesus and the love of Christ is intended for all people, and when we decide that that is absolutely true, we will do and follow Him, we'll do whatever it takes to reach people for Christ. When we decide that it is not about our personal taste when it comes even to the things of worship, but when it comes about simply glorifying God, and when it comes about reaching more people for Christ and make it about that, it'll make a difference. When we finally decide that we're going to walk with Jesus, it makes a difference. So I suspect most of you know what Legos are. We used to have them laying around. You'd get these big tubs of them. And, you know, I never was real great with, you know, you stack them together. And, you know, anything I ever made didn't look like much. But the truth is, the Legos always came with instructions. And if you followed the instructions, you could make some pretty impressive stuff out of that. But you had to follow the plan. We need to follow Jesus' plan, not only for our lives, but for our church. Because Jesus will put things together in us as only He can. Remember from last week, Dr. Thomas Long said, Jesus is walking along the shoreline of our lives, and He's calling out for us. He's calling out for us to follow. Are we going to make excuses? Or will we make a difference? I'm going to ask the musicians and Dr. Blank to come at this time as we sing 470, The Footsteps of Jesus. Stand as we sing and think about that very thought. Are we going to make excuses? Or will we make a difference? Please stand as we sing right now.
Number 470, may it truly be the prayer of our hearts and commitment of our lives.
Can't tell you the exact route where'er they go, but I can tell you where we'll end up, and it will be good. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we follow his footsteps this week.
Praise God. A blessing flow. Thank you, church. You're dismissed, and God bless you till we meet again.